Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce,
and out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implec acasă.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
De ce m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
I-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și ne-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
I-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și ne-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să
faci?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And no, this is not live. It is a recording, but it is fresh enough to discuss some current events that have been taking shape. And we'll get into that tonight because I do believe it is of great import. I think that some of you might see things the way that I'm seeing them at this juncture. I know that some of you will disagree with my assessment, but only time will tell because I do believe that as it sits, as of today, what is it, August the 7th, 2019, Donald Trump made his first mistake. It was an unforced error, if you will, and I think it's one that will have ramifications. I do believe it's one that only time will tell if it will affect the next elections, but I think that yes, it was the first unforced error that gave the other side not just ammunition, but exactly what they wanted. Look, you need to understand, I don't believe that the other side is so up in arms because 30 people died over a weekend in Texas and Ohio. These people are celebrating the murder of millions of babies every year. So the idea that 30 people or 33 people murdered or gunned down is making their hearts go a flutter is ridiculous. I don't believe it for one second. I'm sorry, if you can advocate for post-birth abortion, which means basically letting a baby die because the mother no longer wants it or because she changed her mind, I don't believe that there's enough empathy left in that husk of flesh you call a body to have a reaction to 30 people dying in Ohio and Texas. Look, some weekends in Chicago top 33 people, so let's be fair. However, because of the outcry, there's this push now for red flag laws, and Donald Trump came out publicly and said that he supports the expanding of background checks, which I think will infuriate much of his base. And it's not going to take a lot in 2020 for the election to swing the wrong way. You have, 8 million NRA members in America and counting. You have many more millions than that that are gun owners. And what's being pushed by the Congress of these United States and the Senate as well is a page out of the Minority Report where you can be harassed by government, your things can be taken away, you can even be jailed for a crime you have not yet committed, but which they believe you may at a later date. That is not due process. I'm sorry, that's not how the legal system is structured in this country. So we're going to get into a couple articles because we need to establish a solid foundation about this. I know, like I said, some of you will be upset by the end of this program, but you know me. I've never been a blind cheerleader. I've always told you the truth. I've always told you how I see what I see. And yes, this was a tactical, unforced error by the president because, like I said, the Democrats' only concern, their only desire is to separate Donald Trump from his base. It's not empathy for the murdered. It's not empathy for the dead. It's how can we put a wedge between Donald Trump and his voters? And there is no bigger wedge than the issue of guns. Now, we've talked about this before, and it's, obvious enough where any objective individuals can see the reality of it. Anytime a government was on its way to becoming tyrannical, the first thing they did was disarm the population. Let's be perfectly honest and fair. It is illegal at this juncture to sell weapons of war as they've deemed them or labeled them. You cannot buy fully automatic weapons in America as it sits, as a citizen. But see, they need to conflate the term weapon of war with what essentially is a single shot gun, because it brings up pictures in people's minds. It allows their imagination to run wild, and they start to see, firefights in Vietnam with M16s and the such. Look, fully automatic weapons are already illegal. Bump stocks have been outlawed by Donald Trump. Like I said, not a big gun guy. But to me, it's not about the gun. It's about the freedom that is enshrined in the Second Amendment of these United States' Constitution that I'm concerned with. Because if you can legislate away entire amendments of the Constitution, you're going to have some big problems on your hands further down the road. Because we're going to juxtapose what Donald Trump said he is for, and then what the front runner of the Democrat Party said he is for, namely Joe Biden. That's the one. Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, as he is known. And so it's likely going to be a lesser of two evils situation, but all you have to do is get a couple hundred thousand people to stay home on election day 2020. It's not going to take a lot, and you've already got all of the internet, all of mass media, hell-bent on not seeing another 4 years of Donald Trump as president. And if you can dull the desire of his base to go out and vote for him, you have won a tactical victory. I don't care how you cut it. So let's get into this. And then we're going to get into a couple articles I've written since the whole shooting last weekend. If you don't know what happened, 23 people now dead in Texas, another 9 or so dead in Ohio. Oddly enough, one of them was a Bernie and Elizabeth Warren supporter, diehard by all the evidence. And oddly enough, again, no Republican is blaming Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren because one of their supporters shot 9 people. But everyone is ganging up on Donald Trump, saying it's his fault that the guy who wrote his manifesto and made it very clear that he wrote this before Donald Trump became president, it's somehow Donald Trump's fault. He has blood on his hands. The luminary and brain trust of the Democrat Party actually said that Donald Trump is directly responsible for the deaths in Texas. If you don't know of whom I am referring, it is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And each time that thing opens its mouth, it is proven beyond doubt that someone can actually survive without a functioning brain. So let's get into this. And the first article we're going to get into is from the Associated Press. And the title is "Bipartisan Red Flag Gun Laws Has Support in Congress." Washington, Associated Press. Despite frequent mass shootings, Congress has proved to be unable to pass substantial gun violence legislation, largely because of resistance from Republicans. Again, if you thought the AP was unbiased, think again. However, it continues and it says, but a bipartisan proposal by Senators Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, oh boy, is gaining momentum following weekend mass shootings in Texas and Ohio that left 31 people dead. The emerging plan would create a federal grant program to encourage states to adopt red flag laws to take guns away from people believed to be dangerous to themselves or others. Now, let's just stop here for a second and ruminate. Go on a journey with me, if you will. And answer me this question. Who are the deciders? Who decides if someone is a danger to themselves or others? What are the metrics of this decision? Because see, right now, okay, you know, Republican Senate, Republican president, it can't go off the rails that bad, even though, I'm sorry, Lindsey Graham is wrong. But imagine a Democrat president, Democrat House, and Democrat Senate. Imagine how far they can expand that very vague danger to themselves or others. What are the metrics? Is having served in the military and having come home with PTSD enough for you not to have a gun? Is having been on psych meds enough for you not to have a gun? Is having had a license to purchase marijuana enough for you not to be able to own a gun? What are the metrics? Are you a white conservative Christian? Is that enough of a reason for you not to have a gun because, well, the other side believes that all white conservative Christians are a danger not only to themselves but to others? Do you see how far this can stretch? Do you see how readily adopting such idiocy can lead to losing one's rights? Absolutely. And yes, it will lead to civil war in this country. I don't care how they slice it. Once they start knocking down doors, once they start trying to get people's guns and people won't give them up willingly, this whole buyback idiocy. You know how many people out of, what, 2 million in New Zealand turned their guns in? Because they implemented, after the whole mosque shooting, they implemented a buyback program. Do you know how many people turned their guns in New Zealand out of 2 million? 720 or something around there. So what's next for New Zealand? Do they now go door to door? Do they start confiscating firearms because only 720 people turned them in voluntarily? There's still 1,999,000. What will New Zealand do? Because apparently, the average citizen does not want to be without his defense in New Zealand. Take that mindset and shoot it up with steroids for 10 years. And that's the mindset of most Americans. Look, we are a gun culture, whether you like it or not, whether you like guns or not. America is a gun culture. And there are hundreds of millions of firearms floating around in this country. You take the size of this nation at, what, 330-odd million, and it's sort of surprising that there's only two mass shootings on a given weekend, isn't it? But we're going to get into that as well, because there's a reason these things have grown in frequency. There's a reason, apparently, young men seem so disenfranchised and have no value for life that they're willing to walk into a Walmart of all places and start murdering people. So this is my question to all those who are gung-ho about these red flag laws. What are the metrics? And who determines that someone meets the threshold of being a danger to themselves or others? Now, because it's not a constitutional amendment, these metrics can be changed at whim, whether by executive order or a vote in Congress or the Senate, because apparently there's nobody stands up for truth anymore, whether on the Republican or Democrat side. It is a swamp in a very, very real sense. And the American people kind of getting fed up with it. And so if I were a member of Congress and if I were a member of the U.S. Senate, I would tread very lightly with this decision, because people are already frustrated. They're already at the end of their rope, as the saying goes. It's not going to take a lot to push people over the edge. So let's continue with this, because look, it gets into this territory where you're convicting someone of something that they haven't done. There's no trial. There's no due process. There's no evidence. Well, is there going to be a hotline? Is that it? I think my neighbor's a danger to himself or others because he listens to what, Rush Limbaugh? How many false reports are there going to be? How many people are going to have their lives turned upside down, just irredeemably, because of these supposed pre-crime laws? There's no such thing. People snap because they have no love, because they have no God, because they have no truth. Some people snap. It's the reality of the world. They have since the beginning of the world. They do it in Japan. They just stab people with knives in the mall. Everywhere it's happening because people have departed from light. And the further we get from light, the greater the darkness becomes, and the more of these things we will see periodically. But for elected officials to pass a law that says someone can determine whether you are a potential future danger to yourself or others and take away your constitutional right based on that assumption, that is as slippery a slope as the nonsense that the church was fed about homosexual marriage not going any further than that. You fell for it once. Let's not fall for it again, because there's no end to this. The only way that the other side will be satisfied is complete and total gun confiscation, including BB guns and pellet guns, because you can poke an eye out. And we're establishing all these safety blankets, and this is why this is happening. There's no more survival of the fittest. There's absolute lunatics. There's absolute insane people being propped up by the societal blanket we've woven, and they lose their minds. So I don't see a good end to this bill. I don't care how they slice it. There is a very large swath of this nation that is going to bucket. So, let's continue with this article, because we do have a lot to get to. It's insane. What's also insane is that there's only a certain segment of the population being blamed for this by the mass media. Apparently now, if you are a Trump supporter, or if you voted for Donald Trump, you're not only a Nazi, you have blood on your hands. However, nobody's talking about the guy who was a Bernie bro, or the guy who supported Elizabeth Warren. See, or the guy in Portland, Oregon, who tried to set off a bomb but did so prematurely and got shot by the cops that would have killed close to 100 people. See, they pick and choose what to be outraged about. They massage the narrative, and it leans only in one particular direction. And that should scare you, because that means you're not being told the news, you're not being told the truth, you're being propagandized to. So, back to the story by the Associated Press. A similar bill never came up for a vote in the GOP-controlled Senate last year, but both parties expressed hope that this year will be different. President Donald Trump has signaled support for the plan, and this was his misstep, because he should have just stuck to his guns. Second Amendment, pretty clear. You start fiddling with it, you start fidgeting with it, it can end very badly, kids. We must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, these firearms can be taken through rapid due process. There's no such thing as rapid due process. It's either confiscation or due process. Many mass shootings involved individuals who showed signs of violent behavior that are either ignored or not followed up on, said Graham, chairman of the powerful Senate Judiciary Committee. State red flag laws will provide the tools for law enforcement to do something about many of these situations before it's too late. How about, law enforcement starts just by doing their job? That goofy mental ingrate in Florida was reported how many times to the police by his own family? Nobody did anything. Sorry, maybe we should enforce the laws that are on the books first and then think about taking people's constitutional rights away. In an interview Tuesday, Blumenthal, that's right, the Nang Dick himself, said there's a growing wave of support on both sides of the aisle for the red flag plan. More momentum, in fact, than any other gun violence plan being debated in Congress, including a proposal Blumenthal supports to require universal background checks for gun purchases. Guess what? Already a law. You can't walk anywhere. Hey, give me a gun. All right, thank you much. No, they do a background check. But see, again, it's about digging deeper into your history, getting your medical records, And there's a thousand ways from Sunday that they can tighten the noose and tighten the noose and tighten the noose until you can no longer breathe. A closer look at red flag laws, which have been adopted by at least 17 states in the District of Columbia, including the law set to take effect August 24th in New York. Most of the laws have been approved since February 2018, since the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida. So how does a red flag law work? Let's get into this, because you know what? Hey, Chicago has red flag laws. Guess how many people got shot in Chicago this weekend? Upward of 73. There's like 11 people died. How come nobody's talking about that? Because Chicago has red flag laws. They're on the books. They're enforced. And yet, mucho people's dying in Chicago too. So how does a red flag law work? In general, red flag or extreme risk protection order laws allow courts to issue temporary orders barring someone from possessing guns based on some showing of imminent danger or a risk of misuse. State laws vary, but most stipulate that only specific people, usually family or household members, may petition a court for an extreme risk protection order. In some cases, a preliminary order may be granted without prior notice to the person who is the subject of the order. Such an order typically is brief, ranging from a few days to about 3 weeks. Once the person who is alleged to pose a risk of gun violence has been given an opportunity to respond, a more permanent order may be granted, typically for up to a year. Importantly, to Graham and other supporters, before an order can be entered, some factual showing must be made that the subject of the order poses a risk of using a firearm to harm themselves or others. So, what is the factual showing? Let's start there. Is me tweeting my little brother, "I'm so angry at you, I can kill you," in jest, of course, as brothers are wont to do between themselves, is that enough of a factual showing? Is, I don't know, you getting the wrong order at the restaurant and go, "Ooh, I'm so mad at you," enough of a showing? What is it? Is a proclivity to fly off the handle for no reason enough of a showing? Is having been prescribed medication of a certain sort enough of a showing? Is a doctor's note, a psychiatrist's note, enough of a showing? Because let me just interject and say this. Psychiatrists today believe that a man who thinks he's a woman is not psychotic at all. They don't believe any longer, at least they're not supposed to believe, that it's a mental disorder. So, pardon my French, but I don't trust these people to assess the mental stability of a garden rake. If you don't believe that there is mental disorder, that there are mental issues with someone that either wants to transition their 3 or 4 year old or wants to transition themselves from male to female, then I'm not going to trust you to determine if someone's a risk to themselves or others. I'm sorry. Be consistent. Now, I do believe that these self-same people would likely write the police a note. This person doesn't believe in, trans movement. So there may be a proclivity for violence because he doesn't believe that it's normal. But like I said, so many ways that this can go awry, it's beyond pathetic. And the big push is happening because they know that it will weaken Trump and it will disenfranchise his base. It's not because they love the people that died in Texas and in Ohio. No. These people have no soul. You don't know who you're playing with here. If you think Nancy Pelosi has a soul, you're kidding yourself. That woman sold hers to the devil long ago. If you believe that Dick Blumenthal has a soul, you're fooling yourself. Because I've seen the measures that he supports. I've seen the things that he's A-okay with. Baby murder, not a problem. Your right to defend yourself, your home, and your family, well, let's just talk about it. You know, what kind of defense are we talking about? The best that I can afford, of course. What do you mean, what kind of defense? If someone walks onto my property, if they try to break into my home, if they try to hurt my wife or my kids, I'm not going to debate what kind of defense, Dickie. I'm going to have the best defense I can afford, and I will use it to the best of my ability to make sure that you're never a threat to me or my family again. Period. End of story. But let's go on with this, because like I said, there's so much to dissect. I hope somebody could get to Trump and whisper in his ear. I think Don Jr. is possibly one of those people because he is a hunter and he understands the culture a lot better than Donald Trump does as far as gun ownership is concerned. Because I don't care how you cut it, Donald Trump, not a big hunter. But Don Jr. has been for a very long time. He hunts regularly, and so he understands the mindset. Now, what is the federal proposal? See, it's no longer state deciding whether or not, you know, you should be kept from exercising your Second Amendment right. Now it's going to become a federal issue, so there's nowhere you can move to. There's nowhere you can go where the long arm of the law won't be able to reach out and snatch away the thing that you want to buy. Because somebody showed a tweet that you tweeted 4 years ago, or somebody showed something. Look, nothing dies anymore. Your entire life is kept on servers somewhere. Everything you do online, everything you say within reach of a microphone, anything you tweet, anything you Facebook, because people, why aren't you more active on Facebook, Brother Mike? Because I understand the reach. I understand the control that these people want to exercise. So the only thing that I post regularly are my articles, are my writings. And I stand behind those because I am a man of principle. But as far as other things, as far as family intimacies, I shy away from that because, hey, anything can and will be used against you in case you want to buy a gun. So, Graham and Blumenthal are still developing the plan. Of course they are. But a similar bill proposed last year by Florida Senators Marco Rubio and Bill Nelson essentially would pay states to implement red flag law programs. A bid last year by Graham and Blumenthal to let federal courts keep guns away from people who show warning signs of violence failed to generate political support. Again, I'm going to keep hammering this because it is important. Who determines what the warning signs are? Who determines what a warning sign of violence is? But Dick Blumenthal? Is it him? Does he get to determine? Is you being pro-life a warning sign? Because you know, once upon a time, somebody with a sketchy past lobbed a firebomb at an abortion clinic, saying, that's all Christians right there. Right there. Nope, we can't let professing Christians have guns anymore because they have shown signs of violence. Who determines it? See, that's always, any time a new law is proposed, always ask who determines the metrics, who determines how it's implemented, who determines, who makes the judgment calls about your life as a private citizen, about your life as a taxpaying citizen, about your life as someone who, until the moment the cops kick in your door, was a law-abiding citizen. This should terrify you, and rightly so. Blumenthal called a failed effort to create a federal program a learning experience and said the new proposal would set a national standard that states must meet in order to be eligible for federal grants. So let me get this straight. The state and, yeah, the state government will sell their own citizens' rights away so they could get some grants from the federal government, both of which are financed by the taxes of the citizens that they're betraying. Let that sink in. Basically, the federal government is going to try to blackmail state governments with your money to take your rights away. Get that? Clear enough? Is there any ambiguity? The federal government is going to offer money and then insist that they will withhold money if it's not followed through. So they're offering money to state governments to take away your rights with your money. Yeah, that I'm sorry. That I needed a moment to process that. Because if this doesn't infuriate you, I don't know what should. He compared it to federal highway laws where grants are dependent on states setting speed limits on drunk driving standards, or drunk driving standards. If you have speed limits, you get the money, is what he said. This is a quote by Tricky Dick Blumenthal, by Danang Dick himself. If you have speed limits, you get the money, he said, adding that the red flag law would operate on the same principle. So, if a state is willing to, you know, do away with their citizenry's Second Amendment right, you get a little extra coin. You can give all the state employees a little bump in their salary. But if you don't, then you don't. If you don't do it, Tricky Dick's gonna rip the check right in front of you. You don't get no money. But hold on a minute, that's my money. You sent it to Uncle Sam, and Uncle Sam decides what he's going to do with it, and Uncle Sam's decided that if you don't persecute your own citizenry, then you don't get any monies. So welcome to the new reality, apparently. This is going to get ugly. If these sort of idiocies are not walked back, if people don't think it through, if cooler heads do not prevail, as the saying goes, 'tis going to get ugly, and 'tis going to get ugly very quickly. How much would it cost? Well, costs are still being worked out, but whatever the amount, it's a small fraction of the losses, both monetary and in the loss of life as a result of gun violence, Blumenthal said. It's a small fraction. They don't care. These people are acting like monarchs. Dick Blumenthal, a man whose IQ level is somewhere between room temperature and warm soup, feels it is within his right to act as though he is your monarch. So he decides that whatever the money is, it's a small amount to play. He decides that, well, you know, if you don't play ball, you don't get no money. Wasn't this supposed to be a representative government? Isn't that what we signed up for? When your elected officials and those that are supposed to be representing you start acting as your betters, as your kings and queens and lords and whatnot, when they begin to use carrots and sticks in order to influence what states do with your own money, how far off really do you think we are for something very nasty happening in this country? I don't want it. I'm not looking forward to it. I dread the day. But these people don't learn from history. I don't think that they're capable. I think most people in Congress are there because they couldn't succeed at life. And they decided that they should run for office. And some have been there for 30, 40, 50 years, not because they love their constituents, but because they can talk their constituents into voting for them again and again. So who supports the plan is the question. Nearly all Senate Democrats support red flag laws. Of course they do, because they want to be communists. They want a socialist utopia, and you cannot have a socialist utopia with an armed citizenry. If Russia taught us anything, it's that. If Pol Pot taught us anything, it's that. If Venezuela taught us anything, it's that. You cannot have a socialist / communist utopia with an armed citizenry. Because if you attempt to implement a socialist utopia while the citizenry is armed, eventually it gets bad enough where people go, hey, we've been lied to. This is insane. My kid's roasting a rat on a spit. I used to eat steak. Where's the promise of all the free stuff, Bernie? Where's the promise of all the free stuff, Elizabeth? And then people would rise up. And I guarantee you, they would be somewhere behind high walls yelling, let them eat cake, until the inevitable would happen, until they would be overwhelmed. And then, well, you know what happened in France? Yes, the civilized peoples. The ones we ought to look to, France. Anyway, so there's a bunch of people that are for this. Pennsylvania's Pam Toomey, Mike Braun of Indiana, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Thune of South Dakota. Now, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio said that he was just open to the proposal, noting that the alleged shooter in Dayton, Ohio, kept a hit list of people he wanted to target in high school. Clearly, people knew something was wrong with this guy, and yet nobody went to the proper authorities, or the proper authorities didn't respond. A red flag law may bridge this issue of the guns and the mental health issues, where you identify somebody who has a mental health history that might not be formally diagnosed, but that people know about. So basically, three or four people in your apartment building can go tattle on you and say you have mental health issues, and you can get a knock from your local PD wondering why it is that you're a nut burger. You know it's going to happen. Look, people find ways of exploiting laws to their benefit every single time a new law is implemented. Just the can of worms that's being opened up here is mind-boggling. And the question, of course, is where is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell? Well, apparently Mitch broke a shoulder and there's people yelling in front of his house about stabbing him in the heart. So there's that with Mitch. But the article says the Kentucky Republican who has adopted the nickname the Grim Reaper to celebrate his success at blocking Democratic bills is widely considered the single biggest roadblock to changes in gun laws or any significant legislation in Congress. McConnell has not publicly indicated a position on red flag laws, but said in a statement Monday that Senate Republicans are prepared to do our part to address gun violence. He said he has spoken with Graham and other committee chairs and asked them to consider potential solutions to help protect our communities without infringing on Americans' constitutional rights. Ha, there you go. See, at least Mitch understands that this would be an infringement of your constitutional rights. And you know what? The only way that anything will be remedied in this country as far as violence is concerned is for this country to return to God, is for this country to acknowledge it has a spiritual problem and that it requires a spiritual solution. These are things nobody wants to hear because they think a new law being passed is going to fix everything. No, it's not. And so it's going to get worse and worse. And as it gets worse, they're going to run to new laws. And the new laws will continue to infringe on your constitutional rights because these people see no other way out. And Joe Biden himself has already proposed a gun buyback program. These are Biden's exact words from the first Democrat debate. Folks, look, and I would buy back weapons. We already started talking about that. We tried to get it done. I think it can be done. And it should be demanded that we do it. And that's a good expenditure of money. So if anything is going to save Donald Trump's reelection bid, it's going to be the fact that anyone who's the nominee on the Democrat side is going to do so much worse than what Donald Trump said he was open to, which is basically, you know, expanding background checks, that people will have to choose between the better of two evils. I don't know where this is going to go. I really don't. Because on the one side, you have Joe Biden who insists that we become New Zealand, that we start a gun buyback program, and that's not going to go anywhere. And so once people aren't turning in their guns for the few pennies on the dollar that old Joe's going to offer them, then you start to turn the screws. Then you start to, you know, make people understand that they have no choice. So either turn it in, wink, wink, and get a little money, go buy yourself a cup of coffee and a croissant, or we're gonna come a-knockin', we're gonna come a-knockin'. So between that and expanded background checks, I'm hoping people will choose the lesser of two, but I know that there are a good number of individuals who will just stay home during the next election cycle because they can't stomach it. It's going to be an interesting year. And I think that unless somebody starts to make Donald Trump understand that no matter how much you give, it will never satisfy these people until you open the borders, let everyone flood in, tax the American taxpayer at 90% and give their money away to people who got here 3 days ago and are still learning to use indoor plumbing, they won't be satisfied. And so either you stand against globalism and socialism and communism, and you support the Constitution of these United States even when it's inconvenient, or you continue to give inch by inch by inch until the moment that the pendulum swings and these people have control, and then when they have control, it's going to be full throttle. It's not going to be any of this slow and steady sort of nonsense. It's going to be epic. Look, I saw an article earlier about all the things that Joe Biden would do on his first day of the presidency. And it included such beauties as, gun buyback, open borders, pathways to citizenship, and all this other stuff that I'm hoping the majority of this country is still against, because to adopt all these things would be suicide. But then again, there may be enough self-destructive, self-hating individuals in this country who believe the narrative that just because they want borders or they want national sovereignty, there's somehow racist. And 2020 might just end up being a very unpleasant surprise. And I was talking about this earlier with Gino, and look, I think if 2020 swings the wrong way, then it's just going to be an acceleration of judgment. That's the only way you can look at it. Because if you have, you won't recognize the nation within 6 months. I'm telling you that so that if it goes awry and if what I hope doesn't happen happens, you'll say Mike was right again. If they take back the Senate and if they take the presidency and if they keep the House, you will not recognize this nation in 6 months. Because they will be unfettered. You see, they're not like the Republicans. They don't blush. They don't take into account feelings and demonstrations or anything else. They do what they do because they have an agenda. They do what they do understanding from the go that, yes, we will have to break some eggs. However, it's worth it because it'll be a tasty omelet. So, if you are still so inclined, I would encourage you to pray for this nation. If you are so inclined, I would encourage you to pray for this president. Look, no, they tried to back him into a corner. And I think that it was a hasty decision to come out in support of these new laws. Now, the Democrats know that they've won at least this battle. Whether or not they'll win the war remains to be seen. But if they continue to push this, and they will, the media, nonstop, full-throated, 24/7, this is going to be their bone. They're a dog with the bone, and this is going to be their bone. Every candidate for the Democrat ticket, this is going to be their talking point. And they're not going to stop until the elections, hoping that enough American voters will be disenfranchised to give them a win. So where we go from here? Well, that all depends. On what? On the choices we make, because life is about choice and the consequence of choice. So the question that must be asked and one that we have to wrestle with is, what will this nation choose? Will it choose to abandon its history? Will it choose to abandon the notion of being a constitutional republic for the promise of free stuff? Or will it stand on the walls once more? Will it do battle with the philosophy of death once more? Will we be able to pull this one out as well? That remains to be seen. For now, I thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being listeners of this program. I know that some of you listen because you write me letters. So I appreciate the letters. I appreciate the support. I love you. God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. And until next time, this has been the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. And I, your humble host, Michael Boldea. Gino, if you got anything to say, it's your floor.
Well, I guess we can look at the prophecies and look at what God spoke about America. And like Mike said, if we lose this election, it will be a definite indication that America will face a quicker judgment. I encourage you to go to handyhelp.com. Please get the warnings out. Go to our website and check out the messages, the dreams that Michael had, that Dimitri had, the Wake Up America DVD about Dimitri's message for America, and get the word out and get the materials out to whoever you can. Time is running out. You know, one day the warnings will be over, and God will have spoken all the warnings that he's going to speak. And we already know that he's given us 4 years of grace, extra grace, with Trump winning the election. But, again, it's not a guarantee for the next election. You know, the church could face a lot of persecution. And if the Democrats get in, you can plan on tremendous persecution against the church. You can plan on more abortion laws being passed. You can plan on more criminality of speaking against homosexuality. You can plan on laws changing even to a greater depth of depravity when it comes to gay marriage. And that's why God said, Babylon has fallen, Revelation 18, become a home of every foul spirit, an uncaged bird. If you read Revelation 18, the whole chapter, you'll see we're not in a good position as a country. You know, and America taking God out of what? The schools, the Bible, prayer. That's why we're in the condition we're in, and that's why people don't value life. And that's why people can go to a school and shoot it up and not have a conscience. We have to get back to the Lord. Got to get back to the old path. And we got to get back to the narrow way. God bless you so much for listening to this broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. Or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.